For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Dan Wiederer, on-air contributor for 670 The Score.
You're going to be relying on a lot of young players, guys that have to materialize into who they thought they were.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
I leave here tonight just thinking that maybe this was just a timely reminder that this team isn't there yet, and they're a long way from there yet, and this climb is really steep.
Bears beat reporter and enterprise writer for the Chicago Tribune.
We'll mention this mainly because Chicago Tribune writer Dan Wiederer said we would mention this nugget.
It's real simple. You know, if you take a person's legs away, they can't run.
Dan Wiederer.
Get your track shoes on.
With Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Lot to talk about with Dan Wiederer. He is a Tribune Bears beat writer, co-host of the Take the North podcast, who joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. You see that money for CeeDee Lamb?
I haven't seen it yet. What do you end up getting?
4 years for 136, so AAV is 34. Waiting to find out what the guaranteed is, but I'm guessing it's north of $50 million. But
this is why you get the DJ Moore deal done and feel like it's a bargain, because you know the next one's going to look like that.
Yeah, and it's going to keep going up from here. That position has changed dramatically since I've been in the league, and you're obviously seeing guys cash in, and credit to Ryan Poles for recognizing an opportunity with DJ to make that happen this summer and getting that in a position where they can now look long-term with some good security there.
Dan, you did an excellent job with the one-on-one with Caleb, and we shared a little bit of it. I implore everyone to go check out the whole story, the whole written version at chicagotribune.com, or pick up a paper today. That's also something that you can do if you want. I'd love to know, because, look, you're talking to a guy who's got the world on his shoulders right now, this franchise on his shoulders. What do you think you found out about him that's more difficult to find out in press conference settings, or, you know, you guys are out on the field one-on-one? What did you learn?
There's a couple ways I can take that. And the first way I'll take that is that Caleb seems so genuinely comfortable in these one-on-one settings. And you're seeing him do a lot of them. Sometimes they're two-on-ones, and he's doing a lot of interviews throughout the scope of training camp, because I think it lends to a conversation, right? And I think, like, Caleb is really wired to get to know people as much as they're trying to get to know him. And so there's a presence about him that I think is notable. It's significant. I know the people at Hallis Hall are feeling it. That's from the coaching staff to the locker room, in terms of this natural magnetic charisma that this guy has that draws people in, right? And gets them on his bus, I guess, so to speak, as he's trying to start this journey as the franchise quarterback of the Bears. The other thing I would say, Lawrence, is that he is incredibly grounded in knowing where he is right now. And that is rare for a guy who sets these wild aspirations, talks about winning 8 Super Bowls, you know, and accomplishing things certainly in this franchise that have never been done by a quarterback, but understanding that there's work that goes along with that, and there are weaknesses that need to be strengthened, and his ability to be present with the state of his development over the last 4 months has been striking to me. And I think it's going to be a total asset to his career.
How's the roster right now in your estimation, and is any of this tinkering around the edges so far telling us anything?
Yeah, Dan, I was looking at this. The initial 53 needs to be submitted tomorrow afternoon, and I'm always very, very direct in saying initial 53, because that will be fluid, you know, in the 8 days that follow. And the ones that really matters is the 53-man roster you take into your first true practice next week. And there's not a lot here that is overly compelling. I think we're trying to figure out what's going to happen in the running backs room. Is Velus Jones a part of that? Is Kerry Blasingame going to stick around as a fullback? How do they see that kind of all sorting itself out? I think there's some really good defensive backs that they're going to have to put on waivers, and several that may get claimed elsewhere. If that does happen, because they've got such a deep talent pool of secondary guys right now, particularly at the corner position. So that's going to be interesting to follow. But beyond that, there's not a lot here that's like, holy cow, are we expecting a blockbuster here in the next 24 hours? Because I don't think that's going to occur. In terms of the additions over the weekend, I think Taylor is an open admission, the latest open admission that they have not felt satisfied with the quality of talent or depth at the defensive end position really since camp started. And Ryan said he was going to go and continue to explore that. And then I think Chris Williams comes here just as a little bit of an insurance policy in case whatever injury Zach Pickens is dealing with lingers for a while, and you want to just make sure you have depth on the interior of your line as well.
Should we look at the waving of Ja'Tyre Carter as the Bears feeling like they have good health up front on the offensive line?
Well, they don't. And one of the injuries to keep tabs on is Ryan Bates, because all of a sudden that has gone to a level where you're like, oh God, like he probably isn't going to be ready for week one. And whereas we were talking 4.5 weeks ago about him being the front runner to be your starting center, it has now created a little bit of a ripple effect where you have to kind of find ways to account for that. One of the ways they're probably going to have to account for that is having Doug Kramer on the 53-man roster to be your backup center in case Coleman Shelton gets hurt in week one, right? So there, that may be tied into why you have to then waive Ja'Tyre Carter. I do remind people that the practice squad has swollen so much in recent years.
Where you get 17 that you can?
17 of them, right?
Yeah.
So if you have any level of comfort that you can get a guy through waivers and still bring him back and then be able to play some of those roster mechanic games during the season, you should be in pretty good shape with a lot of guys that you cut this week but still like enough to have in your building when it comes to next week.
What's the effect of the vetoing of the quarterback rule by the NFLPA that means that the third quarterback can't be sort of unlimitedly elevated from the practice squad and now must be on the actual 53-man roster?
Yeah, I mean, that's just going to be a thing on Fridays and every given week, but based on the health of your quarterback's room on how you kind of figure out how to manipulate your roster in that regard. But it doesn't have the same flexibility as it had in terms of being able to just bump a guy from the practice squad. You're going to have to sign him to your active roster, and that means you're going to have to get rid of somebody else that's on your active roster. And so, again, that's some of that roster mechanics stuff that all GMs get pretty comfortable with dealing with when the regular season arrives. And I, you know, it's funny because that obviously was tied into that 49ers game a couple years ago when they wound up without a quarterback to finish a playoff game. But it really hasn't surfaced in any significant level in the time since that rule changed, I don't think. And so we'll see if that changes at all this year.
It's an interesting choice by the PA too, where you kind of have like a guaranteed job there. And even if it's a guy that's being taxied between the practice squad and 53, I don't know. Like I'd love to get into the weeds with someone from the PA about why they did this, but I think that you're right. I do think that it's going to end up costing some members of the PA their job.
Well, and then, you know, and then like when we tie it back to Alice Hall, I think we're going to get a chance to hear from Ryan Poles on Wednesday after the roster solidifies itself and they're rocking and rolling again. But I'm curious what their vision is for Brett Rypien this season and what they see him doing, if anything, going forward. Obviously feeling really, really good about Caleb as QB1 and really, really good about Tyson as QB2. How does the rest of that room sort of shape up and then kind of how do you manage it throughout the year to make sure that it stays healthy and productive?
I want to go back to Caleb for a second because you had all that time with him in the great piece in Tribune by Dan Wiederer that you need to check out, chicagotribune.com, or head over to your local CVS and pick up a paper. That's also helpful. Watching him through this process, as much as you paid attention to what was going on, once it looked like the Bears were going to be in position to draft him, to seeing him at the end of the USC, seeing him during the scouting process, seeing him during the combine, to where we're at right now, what are the things that have impressed you about him?
My knee-jerk reaction is how relaxed he is. You know, he just seems comfortable with what he's about to embark on and even through struggle. And look, like we've documented it through training camp, there were some days that were really, really rough, but you never feel any sort of outward anxiety from him that, oh God, like this is a really stressful week. It's just there's a relaxed demeanor about him that he's very comfortable with what he's trying to do and where he is now. And so that is really impressive. Now, again, we all know next week is a different animal, and the week after that is a different animal, and the 16 weeks that follow those two are a different animal. And so you're going to have to show that poise and that calm and that relaxation through a real roller coaster of a 2024 season. And I know it's like really difficult to try to get the expectations of this city to marry together so that we're all on the same page with what Caleb Williams 1.0 looks like as a rookie in 2024. But I think he's ready for that in a very, you know, again, grounded way and a very relaxed way that really rubs off on people around him.
Just to update the CD Lamb story, and we can give this to Dan in real time. This from Ian Rappaport. Cowboys and All-Pro wide receiver CD Lamb agreed on a massive four-year extension worth $136 million. Lamb gets $100 million guaranteed and a wide receiver record $38 million signing bonus in a deal done by Tony Dandy of CAA. It's a good day to be Tony Dandy, I'll tell you that much. So, yeah, man, those numbers are nice.
Yeah. And they're nicer than they've ever been at the position, obviously. And if you're a rookie like Roma Dunze starting out and you go, whoa, let's fast forward this clock 3 or 4 years and figure out what my bank account is going to look like if I can produce at a level like some of these other first round receivers have done, you got to feel pretty good about it. Look, like, what have we learned, right? This is a passing league, and the teams that have the dynamic players at the quarterback position, the receiver position, the tight end position are the teams that typically go the furthest at this stage. And so that's why they're being invested in accordingly. And we'll see how that kind of affects the Bears as they get deeper in to their current future, if that's even a thing, an oxymoron there. But they've obviously got some things to plan for, not only in the present day, but up the road.
How's Patrick Scales?
One of the four on my list, Dan, that I can't get clarity in terms of what the state of their health is. Patrick Scales is one of them. Bates is one we talked about a couple minutes ago. Pickens is a little bit out there. And then Kevin Byard, who's never missed a game in his NFL career and is suddenly missing from practice for a few days in a row. You go, okay, I assume that he's going to be ready for week one. But you know my rule, until I see it with my own eyes on a practice field several days in a row, I never take the word of the people that stand up at the podium on that stuff. And so I don't know. They keep telling us that Scales will be okay. I don't know. I can't tell you yet if that's the case. And if not, then you go into the regular season having to troubleshoot a little bit.
Are these training camp practices this week, or are they already starting install?
Yeah. I mean, typically what you do this week without the preseason game to prepare for is you start working on the Titans a little bit. And obviously they're doing some closed walkthroughs here today. I think they did one yesterday, and then we'll be back out there on Wednesday and Thursday for two practices. And then they'll take the Labor Day weekend off Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then come back Monday to fire away. But we're here, boys. We're here on the doorstep of week one. And I know I speak for myself and hopefully for you guys as well as saying, thank God, because this has been an extended runway from the start of training camp until now. And it just feels like it is time for all of this conversation and all of the topics that have followed this team to be put onto the stage of regular season action and tested under the lights.
Let's go division real quick. What's something that you want to know about any of the other teams in the division before the season starts?
Before the season starts? I won't know this until after the season starts, but I want to know if Jordan Love is really as good as he played down the stretch of last season. I think for me, I feel like there's been a lot of grand conclusions reached after a 2 month period where he played pretty well. And we know as well as anyone that sustaining success at that position in this league is really, really difficult. And so, look, you see people talking about the Packers as potential Super Bowl hopefuls in 2024. That entirely hinges on whether Jordan Love takes the next step like he did down the stretch of last season. And I don't know. I don't know that he will. That's going to be kind of fascinating to watch, because if he doesn't, guess who the Packers are? They're the Bears of the last, 25 years or so, and they've just invested in a quarterback with a lot of money, believing that he's that answer. So that's the most compelling question. I really think that the Lions are built to sustain what they did last year. Barring injuries, they are pretty well equipped on both sides of the ball to be the front runner of this division, and the other three are going to be playing catch-up.
Back to your interview that you did with Caleb and the discussion of competitive stamina.
Sure.
Which is an interesting term. and the ability that over a long period of time and under stress to keep making those same plays and keep being yourself. And it's, I'm always interested in some of the euphemisms for athletic greatness. But I always get nervous when you start invoking Michael Jordan, because some people learn the wrong lessons from him. And I don't think Caleb Williams needs to be a psychopath to be successful at his job. And in some ways, you know, Tom Brady's already doing the TB12 diet and some of that stuff. And, you know, Kobe had some aspects of that that were antisocial behaviors in some way. Can Caleb avoid that and just be really good at football?
It's a great question, because I talked to Studs on the podcast this morning about my Mount Rushmore of competitive psychopaths. And three of the four are guys that Caleb brought up in our conversation last week. It's Jordan, it's Kobe, it's Brady, and the fourth one is Tiger Woods. And I don't know that you can reach the heights that those four guys did athletically without being a little bit psychopathic and a little bit odd in your pursuit of excellence on a daily basis. Can you be a really good quarterback? Absolutely. But to be the greatest of all time, to have that level of drive and mindset and competitive stamina and whatever else you want to call it, I think you do have to go to levels that most people think are ridiculous and in a lot of ways are unhealthy, you know? And so it'll be interesting to see how Caleb navigates that, because I think what we've learned about him in the last 6 months getting to know him is there's a depth to his personality that's pretty interesting. It's pretty, you know, alluring for a lot of people. And so trying to manage that with the ambition is not easy for a lot of guys. And so that's going to be part of the test of his career, but it's certainly a notable conversation to have in the years ahead.
I might add Pete Sampras to your list.
Okay.
From what I've heard.
I'd add Serena Williams to that list too.
There you go. I won't object. I won't object to that one.
Yeah. We had Matt Eberflus on Friday, and it was great. And Dan and I were talking a little bit about the interview this morning where, look, we feel like we took a step forward with him when it came to trying to figure out what's important inside of the defense that he runs. And it was interesting because when he talked about the pass rush, he said one defensive end, one defensive tackle. So, and that's usually what we hear about this particular defense. And it's what I've known from my time of covering Lovie Smith's defense. Yep. They need a three technique to be a difference maker.
Correct.
So here's my thing, and I've said it for the last couple of years. If I'm Matt Eberflus, I am a little frustrated that everyone knows what I need to help make my defense run, and yet they haven't either found one or developed one, and maybe that happens with Dexter this year. But I am still concerned that's not a thing yet for the Bears. And it makes me hesitant, even with all the great talent that they have on that defense, especially that defensive backfield, to go, oh, yeah, they're totally a top five defense.
Your concern is understandable, and particularly with history as a guide with what this defense is. Where the pushback would come from inside the building is that they have invested in the position using a second-round draft pick in Jervon Dexter, who Matt Eberflus was a part of that draft process and was a part of choosing him to be that guy. And they've pushed their chips in on the developmental vision for Dexter being the thing that gets that position going in the way that it needs to get going for this defense to reach the levels it needs to reach. We got to see it now. There's been 4 months of conversation about how lean Jervon Dexter's body is, how many strides he's taken in knowing the game a little better, how much better he is to dent the pocket and be a guy who can be disruptive on every series basis. Well, now we got to see it in the regular season. We got to see it in week one, week two, week three, week four, week five, come back from London, take a bye week, and then see it for another 12 games after that, because that's where their chips are. And Matt was involved in that. You know, that wasn't just like a throwaway seventh round pick that they used. They went in on day two of the draft and made a targeted effort to take on a project in Jervon Dexter, and they believe they can see through the results of that project. And now we get to kind of sit up in the press box and watch that experiment play out.
Dan Wiederer, thank you.
You got it, guys. Talk soon.
If you can't get enough of that man, check out the Take the North podcast with Dan Wiederer and David Haw, breaking down the biggest storylines ahead of the new season. You can follow Take the North on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Just download the Odyssey app, search for 670 The Score, and tap follow to receive alerts on our Bears coverage.
Alert! Alert!
Intruder alert! Intruder alert!
Man. You can also sometimes hear Adam Studzinski on that podcast.
Yeah, you can. Well, he's going to have his own segment on this show coming up in the last segment, but next you've got more college football thoughts to get off your chest.
I just really enjoyed watching college football this weekend, and you forget how great of a companion it is. So I enjoyed that, and I just wanted to share it and talk about some things, and maybe a fan base that's going to be real quiet for a while. They real mad right now, but they might have to be quiet until their team tries to get back into this thing. Oh, and a word of advice for teams in their scheduling. Next on The Score.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
44 yards away to do it. He got it! He got it! And the Yellow Jackets did it! Upset in hand! They found themselves a pot of gold at the end of their Irish rainbow!
Joe Tessitore, baby!
Let's go!
Tess was in his bag on that one.
And what an Irish Monday show we're having. We had Sam Munson on.
Yeah, I didn't even ask him about that. I don't know. Dan, did you see any of the game at all? Or were you already on your plane back? You might have been. When did your flight leave?
Our flight left about 10.
Yeah, you were already at the airport.
Yeah, it was supposed to be 9:45, and then it was...
Pushed back a whole hour for weird reasons that were not clear.
Yeah, that was...
Shmovit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Shmovit.
Yep, it was a little odd.
Well, the game kicked off at 9, so I wasn't leaving until my flight was at noon. So I got to watch a lot of the game. And you're watching, you're like, this doesn't feel comfortable right now. Because Florida State... In their first drive, DJ Uiagalelei was fantastic in that first drive. And they just mauled. They went down. They scored. They scored a two-point conversion just to be like, how you like me now? And then Georgia Tech was like, oh, yeah? Watch this. And then they went right back down the field and scored. They didn't go for two. It was a really – those games, like the week zero games, are not always competitive. And there's a very small group of them, and some of them are FCS. Like, you got to see some of the HBCUs this weekend.
Yeah, when I was just flipping around to see what games were on, I was just thinking, oh, wait, there should be a game here. No, there isn't. There should be a game in this. No. Why are they showing this?
I saw pieces of a high school game.
Well, there's been
a lot
pretty
entertaining.
There's been a lot of high school football on ESPN the last couple of weeks, and we started in Illinois this past week, right?
No, there was two teams, I can't remember from which states, but none of them were from Illinois.
Okay, so this is week one in Illinois?
This week, yes.
Okay, good. That's been another thing. You know, I have all the teams like in college stuff. So now I gotta like pare down my high school ones. Like obviously HF, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I got them. Then I live in between Kenwood and Hyde Park, so gotta represent the neighborhood. But I also have been on the sidelines for IC Catholic.
The Fighting Matt Bowens.
So, you know, there's my Catholic League school.
Apparently Friday night is a big tilt between Deerfield and DePaul Prep, right by me at DePaul Prep.
Are you going to walk over?
I'm just thinking about it.
That's not a bad idea, Dan. And with it being Labor Day weekend, there might not be a lot of people like just in your area. You could just kind of like, you know. Do your thing.
Oh, I'm not worried about that. I mean, just
no. I'm saying like it's going to feel a lot better because folks are out of town. You could just go and walk up and be like, "Hey, how's it going, Dan Bernstein?"
No,
I got damn glad to know you.
I mean, it is that football field is literally
100 yards from your house
and right behind the grocery store.
Yeah,
I'm there anyway. I could just drop by and be like, "Hey, how's it going?
Hey, I just got back from the rotten meat section at the grocery store. How about some football?
Anybody want some 2-day-old ciabatta?
Dun 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 dun.
So that's why my breadcrumbs rule. I make the best croutons. And the best breadcrumb, my croutons are in the panzanella salad that I make. I make the Ina Garten panzanella salad because I can find the best old bread. I have absolute kick-ass garlic croutons.
Texter, you're right. My house divided flag is going to look like a quilt. You're right.
Yeah, you got a lot of loyalties in there. I really
well,
don't.
And now I'm adding another 8-8 school to it, Stevenson. Because I don't know if you've seen video of Young Spice, but Young Spice Adams is a problem. And Spice was like, "Are you going to come out to a game?" And I was like, "You damn right I am."
Not Ice Spice.
No.
Young Spice.
Young Spice.
Okay.
I'll come out to an Ice Spice game anytime.
I bet you will. You ever seen that video of her where she looks bored that she's twerking?
Yes.
It's hilarious.
Yes,
she's like, "Oh, okay. I guess I'll do all the twerking stuff."
Go get it, baby.
So yeah, I got a lot of high school responsibilities. And like I always root for like the CPS schools that are really good, like Wendell Phillips. Like, you know, it's gonna be a lot. But anyway.
Do you have a 3A school? Because I have a 3A school.
Oh well, IC Catholic is 3A now,
oh,
right?
That's right.
Weren't they
in 4A last?
No, they were 4A a couple years ago. And I have my 1A school. That's Arcola.
You have more football teams.
I mean, Tuscola. Tuscola.
In general, like how many football teams do you get?
I really only have one. I have one football school. And that's because I didn't have one for forever. It's Alabama. That's it.
Okay. I finally have one now, kind of, I guess. I don't know who any of their players are, but I know if my kid's going to be actually going to Tulane games, I might as well care if they win.
Yeah, why not? It's a lot of fun. Like,
it's a great little building, too.
It's a great weekend. If you're going to go see some games, you can go see the Fighting Matt Fortes down there at Tulane.
Hey, man, he said he could be, Pete Futek said they could be in the playoff.
They could be. They've been around it over the last couple of years. They've been a really good program. But it was watching Florida State, and look, I give crap to Florida State, and shout out to my guy Tim Bach, who is like the biggest Florida State fan. They were all so angry last year. So angry last year. We should have been in the playoffs. And everyone was like, you probably shouldn't have been in the playoffs.
The national media hates us. They all have an agenda.
Right, and then the national media, except for Sheamus, all picked Florida State to win the game. Nick Saban picked them to win. Kirk Herbstreit picked them to win. All those guys were right there saying, oh, it's going to be Florida State. Florida State, look, they got struck by the NFL. They had a bunch of players go to the NFL last year, like really good ones. Like one that we bumped from our next segment. But they've got a lot of work to do. And DJU, who I feel like we're going to do, there's going to be a 30 for 30 on his college career. And we're going to be like, man, what could have been? What could have been if that guy would have found and stayed in a system that was better built for him than the ones that he's been in? But then when I got home, so I watched the Florida State game on the plane, the end of it on the plane, and it was hilarious. Then I made it home in time, stopped off at Mesquite, saw some
I saw that. That's where the chicharrones are from?
The next door. There's a...
Well, that looked like jerk chicken that you had. What was that?
That was just grilled chicken. Mesquite on 55th, and there's one in Pilsen too, but the one I usually go to is on 55th. So good. Yeah, and their mashed potatoes are out of this world.
Those pork skins looked...
Yeah, man. And the place was closed. I was like, they should have just invited Dan over. He could have just cleared this out for him.
I would have taken one of those little, like, Tom and Jerry, you know, glass cutters and made a little circle big enough for my hand to just grab one. Those look good.
Yeah. Yeah. So then I watch SMU Nevada because SMU is supposed to be really, really good. And you look up and you're like, how are y'all losing by 2.5 touchdowns to Nevada? They rallied and they came back. And then Then I got my treat, what I've been talking about all week. Ladies and gentlemen, you're up late. Who can you always count on if you're a college football degenerate?
New Mexico?
No, I did. Okay, so that is funny because that goes into my rule.
I know.
My rule of don't schedule any of the Dakotas or anyone from Montana in the first 4 weeks of your season.
Hey, you know, Western Illinois, right there for you. We need the money. Put us on your schedule. We'll take $1 million to come play you.
And they will take that L.
Yes.
For sure. But
they already have it on a gold chain for them.
Right. Oh, we're ready. We're all ready for the L's. Yep.
But I get off the plane, right? I get off the plane, and I'm like, ah, I'm going to go to Mesquite. Like I was like, I know exactly where I'm going for dinner. The first TV that I see is a video of Bronco Mendenhall coaching New Mexico. And we had just been talking about Bronco Mendenhall because what was it called?
Bronco Nation BNN News. Yes.
BNN.
This is BNN.
Well, I got some bad news for Bronco. It turned out real bad for him. Don't do that. Don't pick, like Stud said, ask Western if they'd like a game. Ask them if they'd like a game.
I'll schedule them for you. Yeah, they'll come play you.
Are you entitled? Can you just do that and tell them, hey, I got you guys. You're going somewhere else this week.
Well, what they're doing the last few years hasn't been working, so maybe they need someone that hasn't been there for a little bit. Outside opinion.
I'm going to have Brock Spack on House of L because Illinois State is opening up at Iowa.
That's right. Watch out, Iowa.
That's what I'm saying.
Illinois State's good this year.
You damn right they are.
So is Brock Spack.
That's my guy.
Is he on track to be a lifer there?
Yeah. You know what?
I'm just wondering if he hasn't left yet. If greener pastures aren't his thing, he's going to be like an old fashioned.
He's gonna be like Bob Spoon
or like a Hayden Fry. He's gonna be at this place forever.
I think when
he's got like this white mustache, and we'll say, I remember when Brock Spack's mustache was black.
I think he is, and I think that he's okay with it.
Yeah, I don't think Brock Spack has aspirations of like. I think he's very comfortable where he's connected
with the Purdue job a little while ago.
That would be the only place because he played at Purdue.
Right. But I think that he's happy building what he's built, and what he's built down at Illinois State has been a great. I'm really looking forward to having him on House of L. We're going to have a good time.
And if he didn't leave, he didn't leave after the year they almost won the national championship, I think that would have been the out.
The opportunity to go.
It's Spack.
And he stuck around after that.
No, Bob Spoo's no longer with us.
Who will be victorious, Spack or Spoo?
That's not the matchup anymore.
I don't care.
I don't know who Eastern's playing.
I just like saying.
Eastern's playing U of I.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. I talked with Brett about that. Yeah, they open up with the University of Illinois that has. This is a year they need to make a move, right? It's year four. I'd like to see this be a bowl team.
And Western will be losing to Northern.
And who's going to be on the radio play-by-play for Northern Illinois?
Andy Garcia.
Yep. Andy Garcia replaces Bill Baker. And I had him on House of L yesterday, and I asked him, I said, so what happens if you beat Toledo?
Oh, he's going to have to do an homage.
I think what he's come up with is adios, Toledo.
Adios, Toledo. It is a city in Spain, after all.
Adios, Toledo! Adios, Toledo!
Goodbye, Toledo! Goodbye, Toledo!
Shout out to Bill Baker.
All right, we got something special next. Adam Studzinski received a package. I think we know what it is. I don't know why it's taken so long to get to him.
Los Dragas.
We are going to have an unboxing next on The Score.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk. On Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. In Odyssey Station.
Bears. But first, little Cubs, caller 6 to The Score contest line, 312-540-0670. We'll win a pair of tickets to our live show at Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigleyville from 10 to 2 on Tuesday, September 17th. We'll be joined on-site by Cubs pitcher Justin Steele. It's all brought to you by Bosch Power Tools and Phillips Chevrolet. I can't wait to talk some fishing with Justin Steele. I'm going to ask him why he tortured his teammates.
We got weights and fish!
There we go!
I told them not to go tuna fishing, and they did, and they caught tuna, and they all said it was a lot of work. Yeah, it's not fun. Not fun. You should have gone.
Don't you let them do what they want?
I know, but I don't know if any of them knew.
Oh.
I don't think some of those guys understood what they were getting into.
Okay. Well, then you guys can talk fishing. It would be nice that 17th, right?
Yeah.
17th. It would be nice if we are talking about Cubs baseball.
Oh, would that be great?
In a way that matters on September 17th.
That would be awesome. If we can just get to that point about 3 weeks from now and be excited about Cubs baseball, that'd be really sweet.
But that's not why you called.
Studs, what's in the box?
What's in the box?
Okay, so
what's in the box?
A quick background on this. So last week, 2 weeks ago, I was on vacation. And after I got back, someone on Twitch was saying, hey, Studs, did you get the package we sent you? So somebody on Twitch had apparently sent me a package. And I go looking all over the floor because they said it was delivered during the week I was out. I go looking all over the place. Couldn't find it. But now today, I come in and you guys say, hey, your package is finally here. So unfortunately,
you were literally sitting next to it in the meeting.
Well, nobody pointed it out to me. I walked in and there was just a box on the file cabinet there. So I just thought it was someone else. I didn't even think about it. It wasn't on my mind at the moment. And so anyway, I already know what's in here because the person who sent this to me messaged me on Twitter and showed me what it was just in case I never found it. But we can all find out together
okay. What
it is. So all here right. We go.
So, all right.
All right.
What okay. we got?
It's a shirt.
Mm-hmm.
It is a shirt. We know that.
Anything else in there?
There is. There's something for you guys in here.
No way.
No.
And there is a letter.
All right. Can you read it?
Okay. So this is from @hotpotato on Twitch, a.k.a. Troy in Champaign.
All right. Thanks, Troy.
So Troy said, Studs, sorry about this, but I just couldn't help myself. When Dan and Lawrence put out the call for sending bears to the studio, it pushed this from concept to physical item. I took one of my favorite obvious shirts designs and qualified it for you. I hope you appreciate the humor and get a kick out of it. I figure the design works on multiple levels, both as not a actual bear down and down with koalas. So it is. Oh, here, I'll get it out of the packaging here. Everyone knows famously I love koalas, right? It's my favorite animal.
No.
Oh, that's good.
So
let me see.
All right. So it is here. Give me a second here. It is a shirt.
It's the obvious shirt design.
Yeah.
But instead of a bear like they koala bear down.
It's the walking bear, but it's a koala. It isn't actually a bear.
Is my mic in the way?
And they're poisoned and stupid and useless. Yeah.
So if you're on Twitch, you can twitch.tv/cog670score.
That's great.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. I'll happily wear this. So thank you, Troy, and shout out to the Twitch mob.
And we had listeners send us the bears. Bears.
And there's also a Starbucks gift card in here for the crew.
This one is Emma.
Emma and Grody.
Yeah, he said,
and
P.S.
this one's Grody.
He said, Troy said, P.S. I included a Starbucks gift card as an apology for triggering your koala anger. Please treat the show on me. So Starbucks on me tomorrow.
That's Troy. That's all you. You don't have to buy us stuff.
No, I got
to
pay it back.
No, don't buy it.
No.
Studs, don't buy us anything. You and Ray can share that, or you could just have it on your own. Dan doesn't even order, unless Mitch is paying. But Mitch was paying.
Yeah.
But that's a good policy. Let the boss pay. Don't let the producers pay.
Next up, it's Score Afternoons. Matt Spiegel and Anthony Heron are coming up on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.